The ninth chapter. A few days later, Connor arrived at one of his makeshift shelters that he had built into the side of a rock slide on the southwest side of what used to be a popular lake resort surrounded by evergreen-covered mountains. He had had some mild luck and scored some roots that he could definitely barter with during his next trip to the Emerald City next month. As he moved his position to what was left of a hilltop he was familiar with in his youth, his goal was to dig down as far as he could and get whatever bugs were available to be used for allergy medications. The only problem was that all the ash fallout that was several feet thick in some spots, such as hills and former mountains. Connor had a shovel that also had a pick on it as well. This tool helped break through the rough ground that the many fires had hardened. One thing that Connor knew was that the earth could regrow plants in nearly any seemingly impossible conditions. He found new plants and seedlings in some of the most inhabitable places he had visited, some just months after raging fires had passed through. And even a couple in areas that had been nuked and received severe radiation fallout from the useless wars that had been insisted upon by leaders who most of the time didn't have the qualifying experience, or for that matter, integrity, that Mother Earth needed and desperately called for. Had only she been listened to, Connor's Earth he resided upon could be so much different. But he did not worry about the failures of men in high towers whom stuck their fingers in their armpits and touted fire and fury with no regard to the future generations. The rich never seemed to understand the basics of life down on the ground level. But Connor knew what the earth told him when he looked and listened. He walked and crawled through terrain that would best the meanest of mankind. His entire mission was to help other people that he didn't even know and probably would never meet. Hell, he didn't need the medication. He was healthy as an ox, and it filled him with pride when others benefited from his efforts. So many of his friends and loved ones weren't able to be saved, and he thought about them all the time. But this time out was special. He had met a woman in the Emerald City who had severe allergies and had captivated his heart one night when she showed him love and companionship. She lived with her mother and was not able to venture outside because of the fear from her ailment. He had promised that he would find the ingredients she needed so he could at least take her on one trip to what was left of the nearest ocean beach. The power of love inspired and motivated him to roam with just purpose. As he neared the top of the hill he had gold for, something caught his eye out of his left rear corner. A light shined out a flicker. Seriously, he thought as he hit the deck and spun around while pulling his pistol out of its thigh holster and pointing it in the direction of the light's location. He had also pulled Patch close down next to him in an awkward laying down position. Down below, a figure was walking the perimeter of the crater that used to be a lake resort. He couldn't believe he had not been spotted and shot at this point. How long has that son of a gun been there, he thought, with great fear raging through his being. The person kept walking a few more yards, then suddenly stopped and looked right up at Connor. No freaking way, he thought. He lowered his pistol to the ground and laid it on its side, then quickly reached back, keeping his hand low, and grabbed his scoped rifle and pulled it upward and out of its scabbard on his back. Then he brought it around and put a quick bead on the body's midsection and focused his vision. A warrior, heavily armed, was walking toward him, readying his own weapon system. Connor inhaled and counted 3, 2. Fire. A round angrily barked out of the end of his rifle, and a second later hit the figure's midsection, exploding out dust and a red cloud of blood. The figure pulled the trigger and several flashes erupted. The next moment, the ground next to Connor exploded with firecracker snaps. He slapped up the bolt and pulled it back hard, then shoved it forward as fast as he could, then placed a bead on the figure's head and squeezed back the trigger. The figure's head exploded with a red cloud and it fell to the ground. Connor reloaded the chamber and sat in shock for several seconds. He looked down to check himself and then looked over to check Patch, who was hiding behind him. "You good, buddy?" he asked aloud. Patch looked up with scared eyes, also in complete shock. "That was a close one," he said aloud. Then he worked his way onto his feet and started to slowly walk down toward the attacker to check them for anything useful that he could gather for his mission. As he came to within 50 yards of the lifeless body, he put his scope rifle back into his scabbard and drew his automatic pistol and held it at the ready as he closed in his final approach. He was still in such shock that he had to remind himself to look around and not get tunnel vision on the subject. When he reached the body, Connor put his left foot out and pushed on their hip. "They were definitely dead." "Idiot," Connor muttered under his breath. It was a man who appeared to be in his late 20s or mid-30s and had a big scar across his face and up his forehead. He looked like he had a very rough life. "Savage," Connor thought as he reached down and very carefully began to search through the man's pockets. He didn't want to find any booby traps or sharp things to poke him with and cause unnecessary injury or infection that could put an end to his trip. In the jacket pockets, he found a wallet with an ID that had the name Randy James with a much younger picture and had expired 8 years ago. The date of birth put the man at 34 years of age. In his trouser cargo pockets, Connor found some ammo for the automatic rifle that the man had been firing at he and Patch. It was only 20 rounds, but Connor would use all he could get out here. In the pants front pocket, Connor found a folding knife, a lighter, and compass. All very useful stuff Connor could take to barter with. Next, he slowly began to remove the guy's backpack. He was careful in case it contained explosives or chemicals. Once he got it off and pulled it away from the body, he checked the outside pockets first. He found one was stuffed full of pistol ammo. The other outer zipped-up pocket contained a can of beef stew and a can of what appeared to be an unlabeled can of tuna fish. Sweet. "We're eating good tonight, buddy," Connor said as he looked over at Patch. Connor stuffed the items in his large compartment of his backpack and turned back to search the dead man's large backpack compartment as well. Inside, he found a spare pair of camouflage trousers, a pair of old, gross-looking socks, and a .38 caliber revolver pistol that the pistol ammo he had found in the side pouch of the backpack was for. The pistol's hammer was half broken off, but appeared to be in working shape, enough to barter for spare parts at least. He also found a screwdriver and a wrench, along with a flashlight that he could use as well. He assumed this is who he'd seen flashing their light on the adjacent mountain the other day. He stuffed the rest of the things in his backpack and grabbed the dead man's rifle, then turned to make his way back up the hill. He needed to get over the ridgeline with enough time to find an area he had came for this route. Find the area he had came this route for. He didn't want Patch to have to travel too long without sufficient rest after the extreme stress of the brief and shocking firefight. When he neared the crest, he slowed his pace so that he could peek over the top and not be detected by anyone on the other side. At the top, he laid down and scanned the area with his spotting scope for about half an hour and could see no sign of anything. He looked over at Patch while putting his spotting scope away in his pack and said, "You ready, boy?" Patch looked at him with puppy dog eyes and came in for a face lick. Connor reached over to Patch's face and grabbed it with both hands and rubbed firmly and said, "We got this, buddy." Pat scratched his chest with his hind leg uncontrollably. Connor removed his leash from the collar and the two continued on their way. The ridge would take them about a quarter mile till they may have to sidestep down to ground level and enter into the valley that led to the place that he had hoped would be plentiful with enough vegetation to collect and begin their trip home.